to all of you, and a very blessed Christmas as well. Just as a side note, I apologize in advance. I may sound a bit funny this morning. There's been a bit of a flu and things like that. So I also apologize if I refuse to shake your hand later, because you know, you don't want to be passing around this germ. So, nonetheless, I thank God for preserving my health and being able to share God's word with you all this morning. Right, the text is from this the passage we read just now, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 20. Sorry. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 20, and it's entitled, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. Which is really what the angels were doing that evening, that night, as Christ was born in the manger. There were in that same evening shepherds who came to call them to listen. And basically, that's what the meaning of hark is. It's a call to listen and listen carefully. Listen to what? To listen to the message that these angels had for them that evening. They were described in the hymn as herald angels. Herald meaning an angel who gives an official message. Angels carrying a message from the Lord. And phrased in such a way, we really have this idea that this is a message of utmost importance. Where messengers were sent from above, sent from God Himself, to come down and bring a message to man, to us. And that is really what we want to hear, isn't it? Especially on this Christmas morning. What message is it that Christmas brings? And we know that this is the message that comes to us from God, the message of the gospel. The message that came to man 2,000 years ago and is just as relevant and applicable to us this morning as well. Because the same good news is issued to all the world, telling us that Christ, the Savior, is born. And Christ is not just born, but He lived a life, He died for our sins, He rose again, and He is coming again. And really this call that went out to the shepherds this morning, the call that says, Hark, listen! It's the same call that will come to us this morning as well. That there is a message of utmost importance. One that we all must sit up and listen to. One that we all must take notice of and realize that it is a message from God. Now, of course, this hymn, I'm sure, is very familiar to all of us. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it's something that we have probably been listening to over the past few weeks, over the radios, on television, I'm sure, and in the shopping malls as well, you hear all these familiar jingles. But what we really want to hear from this song and from this hymn, and also from the Word of God, is not just a cheerful melody that sounds good, but really a message that comes to us. God speaking to us, telling us, now listen. Listen, because I have a message that is given to men. And especially at this time of the year, we must remember the message. The message. Because when else can we have a time that we have such a wonderful opportunity where even all the world comes together and they also listen to the message? Now, of course, a lot of times this message goes out and the world doesn't realize it. They say Christmas, Christmas, but they don't remember the Christ behind the Christmas. But for us this morning, it's useful to turn to the words of Scripture, to come to the Gospel of Luke and ask, really, what is the way to listen to this message in a biblical manner, that we can commemorate Christmas in the way that is most pleasing and acceptable unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, what we have is recorded for us the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what we saw from verse 1 to verse 7. As they came to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn, and so they had no choice but to come to this, you can say, sort of barn house, a place where the animals were kept. And in this most humble manner, surrounded not by kings and all the leaders of the land and not the most important people, but really just Mary, Joseph, and perhaps a few animals. In this manger is really a place where they will keep the animal feed and they will feed from this trough. And it was in this most humble manner that Jesus was born. And concurrently, there were, in verse 8, we are told, shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping over the watch over their flock by night. And it was to this group of humble people that the Lord chose to send this first message. The angels came and surrounded them round about, and they were the recipients of this message. You know, you would think that when a king is born to the land, when the king of the world, the king of the Jews, is born to the nation, they will send messengers. God would perhaps send messengers to the leaders of the land, isn't it? The most prominent people, or the religious rulers. Perhaps you would think it will go to the chief priests, to the scribe, to the Pharisees, to the Sanhedrin council. That would be the logical group of people that the message would go forth to, isn't it? But that wasn't the case that morning. Who were the recipients of the message? Who were the ones that were called to hark? It was really this group of people, humble shepherds, watching over their flock by night. They were not the high-born. They were not the influential men. They were not leaders of their land at all. In fact, they were in this most humble occupation, shepherds, which you may think, well, doesn't require much skill, isn't it? You just sit there and you watch the sheep. Doesn't require too much effort at all. But it was to this group of people. Why? Because we'll see later on from the response that they were the faithful ones. They were the ones who were waiting and watching for the coming of the Messiah. They were the ones who read and learned and knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were eagerly looking forward to this coming. They were also those who were faithfully fulfilling their role and their duties. It was not easy to keep watch over their flock by night. It would have been cold in the night, and it would have been tiring, but they knew their occupation, they knew their job, and they did it well. And so they were faithful believers. They were also responsibly doing their duty, faithful in little things, and as we will see, faithful in big things as well. And it was to this group of people that they had this wonderful, unique opportunity where the angels came down and surrounded them and called out to them, telling them about this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great privilege, a great opportunity, that out of all the people in the world living at that point of time, they received the message. And of course, the message didn't just remain with them. It was a message that would then go forth throughout the whole world, but they received it first. And now the message has gone out to all of us. And likewise, we too are like the shepherds, isn't it? Simple, I hope faithful believers, doing our task, doing our job. And that same message comes and says, hark, listen, because this is what the Lord wants us to do. Doing our duties, doing our role. And then the Lord will come to us and open His Word to us and tell us, now this is what I want you to hear as well. And so they were the recipients of the message. But what was the contents of the message, the contents of the actual message given? And we carry on in the narrative. In verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It was, you can imagine, a magnificent sight. That was the angel of the Lord, and somehow there was this brightness of His glory shining all about them. A visage, a specter that they had never seen before in their lives. And of course, it was perhaps quite a scary image. It was described that they were so afraid. They were terrified. Initially, perhaps they had no idea what was going on. The quiet evening of the night, it was shattered by this wonderful image. Words cannot begin to describe now exactly what this glory was. But it was something visible, tangible, something they could see and feel. And they knew that this was no regular occurrence. And so as they watched what was going on around them, they were afraid. But the angel of the Lord came to them and comforted them to tell them, fear not. For truly there is nothing to fear about Christmas, isn't it? There's nothing to fear about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing to fear about the angels. Unless, of course, we do not know the Savior. Unless, of course, this glory that shines upon us is something completely foreign and alien to us. Unless we are still in our sins. And then we realize that Jesus Christ comes not to save us, but in time to come, He will come to condemn us. Perhaps then that is when Christmas and this message of Christ is a fearful thing. If not, the same comforting words from the angel comes to us and say, no, don't fear. There's really nothing to fear about this whole event at all. Perhaps if we are of the more superstitious nature and we reject the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ, but perhaps we are bought into the message of Santa, and that is perhaps the lie that some parents even continue to perpetuate to their children today, and then they fear that one day, or that morning, or maybe last night, some stranger came down through a chimney to grace their house and to fill their stockings and to eat the cookies and the milk set on the table. Now, if you think about it, that's actually quite a fearsome thing, a stranger coming in. But it is not a stranger at all. It is a friend. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to us. And He comes to us as the great, wonderful shepherd, saying that I am the one who comes to save you from your sins. I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the message to them was, don't fear. Don't fear, but instead, verse 10 tells us what? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. A wonderful message. Fantastic news. The best news ever. It is universal good news. Literally this word, good tidings of great joy, it is, I bring you this good message, or you can say, I evangelize to you. I bring you this evangel, the gospel. And that is really where the word gospel comes from. This word from which we get the word evangelize really literally means a good message, good tidings. He says, I bring you this great news, good tidings, great message. And what it is of great joy. Great joy. Literally, the word great comes from the Greek word mega. It's a word we're all very familiar with, isn't it? Huge, massive joy. And that is what they were to have that morning, that evening. The best news ever. And literally, I mean, if you think about it, what is really the best news they can ever have? It is the message that Christmas brings to us. The idea that unto us is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The promised Savior, the promised Messiah, has been born. Of all the news in the world, of every single news that has ever been published in any publication, any newspaper, any television show, or from the beginning of time until now, no news even comes close to the wonders and the glory of this particular news. What is it? It is the fact that the Savior has been born. The fact that Emmanuel, God with us, has come down to this earth. Can you think of any news better than this? There really isn't any, you know that. I mean, what could be better? I mean, people always celebrate at the news of the birth of a child, isn't it? It is a happy thing. A new life has been born into this world. And of course, to the parents of this new child, it is really a wonderful time of joy. The child that the wife has been bearing for the past 9 months and finally comes forth. And they have what they call a new bundle of joy, isn't it? A new birth to a family. And that is a happy occasion. But of all the births in the world, now this was the most remarkable. Why? Because it was not just any person. It was not just any regular person, you may say. Or sometimes, if it is a birth of a royalty, perhaps, and that is also something which the world speaks about, the heralds all around the news speak of this royal birth, they say, and that, of course, perhaps is, you can say, a news better than any regular birth. But this is far more than just royalty. This is God. This is God who is coming to be the Savior of the world. And you can begin to see how wonderful, how great this news really is. The promise that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this earth. And of all the news that we can ever receive in our life, this is the one thing that we must receive with joy, and this is something that we must understand. Because if we don't have this news, we don't have this good message in our life, then really what's the point? Really what's the point? Because no other joy that we can ever have in this world can ever compare the reception of this particular news. And so it was given to these angels at that point of time. But the angels told them at that point of time also that this shall be to all people. It was not something that was just restricted to them, in that locality, in that period of time. No, it was to all people. And not just all people in that period of time, but all people throughout all generations. It was the news. You can say, oh, the news of the century, the news of millennium, but really not just then. Because if there was news of the millennium, it was just last 1,000 years, and we are in the next 1,000 years. No. It is a news that continues to endure until now, 2,000 years later, and is just as good to all people. And to all people includes us as well. That's why it is described as a universal good news, a message that continues to revolve, to resound throughout all the world that we hear today as well. But what was the news itself? Verse 11. And we are told this, For unto you, it is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now upon hearing this phrase, the shepherds would have understood, as they were devout, faithful Jews. They had been studying the Old Testament. They had been reading all the prophecies of this coming Messiah, of this coming promised person who will save the world of their sin. And passages like Micah 5:2 will come to mind. The prophecy that told them, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is ruler, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. They would have realized. Now where is the city of David? They would know. Bethlehem, that is where David was from. And that was the city of David. And we will see in the verses before that it was really due to rather unique circumstances that this very pregnant Mary would have to make that journey back to Bethlehem, because she was of the husband was of the lineage of David as well, both of them. And so they would have to return to their hometown for this sort of a national census and also a taxation. And it was really, you can say, a unique circumstance arranged by the providence of God. That at that point of time, they will make their journey back to Bethlehem, and it was then that they will be born. And so as they heard that, in the city of David, they would know. This comes in fulfillment of the prophecy in Micah chapter 5. And more than that, there were other. For example, the verse that was read to us at the call to worship this morning. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And there will be something that is brought to mind when they heard the message of the angels. For unto you is born this day. For unto you is born a babe, a child. And they would know. And they would have this excitement coming up within them to realize that, yes, this is the Savior that comes in fulfillment of prophecy. Because He is the one that will come to save the people from their sins. And they knew that this is one that comes from the lineage of David, the promised seed that had been told to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to all the descendants of the Israelites. And they will know, yes, this promise is finally come to fruition in our time. That Jesus is born. The long-awaited Messiah was finally here. The one whom all the Jews have been looking forward to, all the Jews have been excitedly waited for. Finally will come the solution to our sins. He was to be their Savior, but yet He came in such a humble manner. Because verse 12 tells us that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That little pen where they kept the animals, and in that feeding bucket where the animals would keep their animal feed, and that is where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Really to show the humility of Christ that He came, as we saw on Sunday, in the likeness of man, and He humbled Himself. That was really the humble birth that Jesus came to 2,000 years ago. But He came really to be their Savior, to be the Lord. He was God coming to this earth. But yet He was found in this humble, simple manner. And that was the news. A simple news, just two simple short verses. Three, rather. Really, a verse that will resound in their hearts to realize that, yes, this is the most momentous event ever in the history of man and ever will be. That God has come down to this earth and He came for the express purpose of dying for their sins. That is really the message of Christmas, the wonderful, wonderful news that we ought to go forth and share with the people around us. And so in response to that, verse 13, we are told that straight away, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And so we can see initially there was one angel that sent this message and the glory was shining round about them, perhaps a sort of a visible light that they could all see. And as the message was proclaimed, then more angels came down, a multitude of the heavenly host, and they came praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And they knew, the angels recognized the value of this message. And so all these heavenly hosts came down from heaven, and they all cried and said, "Glory to God, glory to God." Even though the angels themselves will never truly experience this salvation. Because unlike us, the angels don't have a savior. They were created perfect and they continue in perfection. But for us, this was for the men. That was a message that they would all be eager to hear. And so what was it? They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Peace. Christ came to bring peace. What sort of peace? Not to establish peace on earth while man continues to fight and war. Now we know that is something that will not be attained before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a second time. Because you may say and ask now, if He brings peace, why is it that man continue to fight? Why is it that there is still no peace on earth? Why is it that even amongst Christians and in churches there is still no peace? And to an extent that is true. Not that sort of peace. See, what the Bible speaks of here is the peace that will be wrought through the Lord Jesus Christ. That through His death and through His resurrection, we are told that we, as sinful men, can be reconciled to God. What does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that while we were sinners, as sinners, before we become believers, we are enemies of God. Do you realize that? We are told that nothing that we do is ever pleasing to God. We are rebels. We are people that go our own way. And we have continued to cause grief and anger against the Lord because we just continue to go against His law, against His commandments. But we are told that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, Jesus Christ came to die for us. And through this, He has made peace for us. That is the meaning of reconciliation. That while there was this enmity between God and man, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ does, now that enmity has been bridged, we are now peace, at peace. And peace not in just the sort of uneasy alliance between nations that are not at war. That is not peace. What peace really means is that fellowship has now been bridged and we are now in perfect unity with God. Imagine that. That as sinners, we can go directly to God and pray to Him. We can worship Him and this worship will be acceptable in His sight. That is peace. That is the peace that we, as believers, we have already received, that we have understood. And we know that there is nothing to fear anymore. As we saw earlier, the angel said, "Fear not." Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes to bring peace on this earth. Not just peace, but also goodwill toward man. Now, what does this phrase, goodwill toward man, mean? Literally, it has this idea of good desire or good thoughts, good reckoning, that He wants to bring goodness toward man. And of course, this can only come to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who accept His message, those that will hark the message of these herald angels to say that, yes, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, this really is the best thing that God can do for man. He has good desires for us. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to receive this peace. But only if we hearken to His message. Only if we receive this wonderful, praiseworthy news. And that is why it is glory to God. Because He has done it all for us. And so that was really the contents of the message. That is what they were to hearken to. That was what they were to listen to that evening. Listen to the message that these angels bring to us. And now for us, we have hearkened. We know this message, isn't it? But then we will also want to see now what will be the response. Because as the angels heard it that evening, they responded in a most wonderful manner. They knew that this is the best news that they have ever received and ever hoped they will ever will receive. And how were we to respond? What did they do? And we can see from verse 15 onwards, really, what was the response to this wonderful message that they received that evening? And to us, this can be a pattern, you may say, of how we too can respond to this glorious, glorious message. And so it came to pass, as the angels were gone from them to heaven, they were sitting there. And what sort of response would they have? Perhaps you may think they were awestruck, and they would just sit there and revel in the glory of the message that they had just received. But they didn't just sit there. They didn't just sit there in awe and wonder and think, wow. They acted on it. What did they do? Verse 15. And then they said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They wanted to do something about it. They wanted to see for themselves. All right, they said, yes, there is in Bethlehem, in this manger, there is this child that was born. Let us go and see. Because they were excited. They wanted to see for themselves that really the Lord, the God Himself, has come down. He is the Savior of mankind. And so their response was one of haste. Verse 16. Come, they came with haste. They came with haste. They wasted no time. They think, all right, maybe we have to bring the sheep back to the sheepfold first. Or perhaps we have to find a substitute and to make sure all these things are taken care of. What if we lose our sheep? What if our sheep run away? They didn't think of all these things. They didn't worry and think, now, how was I to get to Bethlehem? Where in Bethlehem? Right? Because you realize they weren't given too many details about, you know, where this manger was or which part of town it was. All they were told is that there was in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes and that was it. But by faith they went. Why? Because they were so eager to see the Lord. They were eager to hasten to the Lord. Let us go and see the Savior. Let us go and come before Him and worship Him, adore Him. And that is what they did. Not too many details were given to them, not too much information they received, but nonetheless they went. And you realize that it was actually a city, at that point of time, very, very crowded. Right? The very fact that Mary and Joseph could not find place in an inn meant that every building would be occupied, packed to the brim. And full of all the officials, you know, receiving the taxes, doing the census. And it was, you can imagine, that night, it was a very crowded, bustling place to be. And they would have to go there and ask from house to house, has there been a baby born? And has there been a new child, a birth? Have you heard of Mary and Joseph? Where is this child? But nonetheless, they went. They went by faith. Why? Because they had to see for themselves the fruition of their hopes and all their desires, the Messiah who has come to earth. They did not make any excuses, made no delay. Let us go to see the Savior. And we too have heard this message. We know what Christmas is about. But what is the desire of our hearts as we come here this morning? Is it one that says, yes, I must hasten to see the Lord? Or do we just come grudgingly? Because we think, well, it's something that we ought to do on Christmas, all right, I know it's about Christ, so let's just do my time in church in the morning and then I can look forward to the parties of the evening. Has that been our heart in this morning and this Christmas season? Thinking that, well, it's an obligation I have to fulfill, all right, I'll get through it, I'll pay my dues, I'll come for this 2 hours, and then I'll be on my way. No, this ought to be the thing of utmost priority. That I have this opportunity to come to the God, to the house of the Lord, and to sing all these wonderful hymns of praise unto Him. Because that's all what we ought to do. This excitement has to be in our hearts. To say that I want to hasten to the Lord as well. Make no delay. I will not rationalize in my mind. I will not think of all the excuses I can come up with. No. This is good tidings of great joy. And the shepherds understood that. And so for them, they said, "Lord, let us come. Let us gather before the throne of God. Let us come and consecrate my life to God. And let us come and spend time in love and devotion to the Savior whom we love." And as we came here this morning, we read this wonderful account. We read through Matthew and Luke. We sang all these hymns. And it's really a blessed opportunity that we come and hasten to the Lord. For it is here, in the house of the Lord, that we can receive His blessings, that we can come before His throne and meet Him. And so that is what they did that evening. And they came with haste, and they found Joseph, Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. True enough, as promised, as was prophesied, that is exactly what they saw. A babe, a little child, lying in a manger. And what was the second response they had? They hastened to the Lord. And verse 17 tells us that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They began to spread the word. They began to tell others about what they had seen, because they knew the magnitude and the importance of this wonderful message. And now that they've seen for themselves, they did not want to keep this news to themselves. No, they were not selfish in that manner, but now that they've seen, they said, now let us tell more people about what we have seen. And that's another thing that we do during Christmas, isn't it? A wonderful, a glorious opportunity that we can share the Word of God to the people around us. To also tell them, come, hasten to the Lord. To bring them to church. To tell them about this wonderful, glorious news. And that is what we ought to do, isn't it? A wonderful privilege, a wonderful opportunity that we have this season. To tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what better opportunity can we have? Where is during this period of time, this year where the name of Christ seems to be on the lips of everyone. Because they don't acknowledge Christ yet, but yet perhaps it can be a useful time where they will be more receptive, open to come. And as a friend, this is really the best thing that we can do for them, isn't it? Because we recognize that this is the best news ever. This is the good tidings of great joy. And as a friend, that is what we will want to the people around us, isn't it? You will want to share with them the best news that you receive. When you have good news in your own life. For example, you have a child that is born, or perhaps a new grandchild has come about, or someone has gotten married. These things are good news that we want to share. We have a new job, we have graduated from the university, we have done well in our studies. These things are good news that we want to share with the people around us. But this is the best news ever, isn't it? And should we just keep these things to ourselves and be selfish about it? Definitely not, isn't it? When you know the wonderful importance of this news, you will want to share this message all around you. And sometimes we unfortunately have this sort of thinking that, well, I don't want to offend the people around me. I don't want to spoil their mood because they are people that don't like to hear about the gospel. But really, this is the best news ever. If you don't share these things with them, what better thing is there to share? What is more important? Is it not his soul and his eternity? His fate for everlasting life? And if we really care about the people around us, this is something that we would want to share. And some of us who are here, perhaps you are here for the first time, or perhaps you are here at the behest of a friend who has welcomed us and invited us over, and perhaps grudgingly you just came to perhaps appease him, and since he has always been so insistent, you say, all right, finally once I'll come. I really realize that you are here not because he, you know, not because you have something to owe him, but really he came and he brought you here, he invited you here because he really wants the best for you. He really wants you to hear. He really wants you to understand the magnitude of this good news. Because this is the message from the angels, a message that we would really do well to receive and understand. And so that's the second thing they did. They went out and they told people all around about them, really what this news was all about. And all these things, and all they that heard it marveled or wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so many people heard, and they responded in the same way as well. They marveled and said, yes, truly, this is wonderful news. Perhaps many after that came to see as well, we are not told. But they heard, they received. And I believe that there were those who believed that evening as well. And Mary also heard all these things and she kept them in their heart. To her it was, well, you can say, very unique things that were happening. Why the fuss of all these people concerning my child? Of course she knew. But still, it was something very wonderful for her. And as she saw, as she pondered, she thought about all these things. And that's what the final thing that we want to see in the sense of the response from the angels is in verse 20. After they hastened to see the Lord, they went out to tell everyone around it, to spread the word, and finally they praised the name of God. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And finally, this is really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It is a time of worship. Of worship. That is really what you can say, the Christmas spirit, isn't it? A lot of times we have many ideas about what the Christmas spirit is. It's about giving and receiving. It's about family, is it? Some people think about Christmas in terms of that ideas. But really, it's not so much about all these things. It's not about the parties. It's not about the presents. It's not about all the fun that we can have. But really, is it a time of worship, isn't it? That was the response of everyone that heard about this good news. The shepherds, they praised. The angels, as we saw in the verses before this, they gave glory to God. And we will see the people that the shepherds told about, they also wondered. And that means marveled. And all throughout the Gospels that of the passage that we read just, the passages we read just now as well, you will realize that this is a common thing that all of them did as well, isn't it? If you turn to Luke chapter 1, you will see that even before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, when she was still in the womb of Mary, when her cousin Elizabeth came with John the Baptist in her, we are told that even John the Baptist also leapt with joy. You see that in Luke chapter 1, verse 42. And when Elizabeth had heard of the news of Mary with child, she spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She also gave praise and glory to the Lord. And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, she said, "The babe leapt in my womb for joy." And that speaks of John the Baptist. And he also understood the Holy Ghost was in him and helped him to understand that truly this is a magnificent birth worthy of praise. Mary herself, when she received news and understood all these things, we are told in verse 46, and Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior." She magnified the Lord and brought praise and glory to Him because she understood. Likewise, we also see in Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, there were two of these people. We also looked through this passage during our caroling. Simeon, when he saw and understood the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Blessed be God. Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." He blessed the Lord because he understood. Same response for Anna in verse chapter 2, verse 38. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And just now we also read in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men from the east. And when they heard about these things, they followed the star, and they came to where the young child was. And verse 10 of Matthew chapter 2 tells us, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Extreme joy. Again, the word mega joy. They understood. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to bow down, worship, and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is our heart this morning? What is the attitude that we carry with us into his house? And what is the spirit that we would have throughout this day? It ought to be this: a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise and bringing glory unto God. Why? Because we understand this message. We understand what the angels brought to the shepherd that evening. The herald angels, what message did they have? What good news?
What glorious tidings of great joy. And that is something that we ought to understand as well. Because we have understood the gospel. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. And we knew how significant that Christmas, that first Christmas was. The first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God coming to this earth to live for us, to die for us, and then to ascend into heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, glorious message that we have. And as we remember Christmas, we remember the response that these shepherds have, and this really ought to be the response of our heart. It is not just another public holiday. It is not just a time that perhaps we can have an opportunity to meet up with friends and family and to give and receive gifts. No, far more than that. It is a season that we would especially worship and magnify the Lord for how He came down to this earth for our sakes. And in response, we must hasten to Him. We must spread His word, and we must bring His. We must praise and glorify His name. If this is not what we do, then really, what's the point? If we don't hasten to the Lord, if we don't share His word, if we don't praise and magnify His name, then really, what is this season all about? What is the purpose of Christmas? Perhaps if we don't do these things, then maybe we have not really understood the message that those angels brought to the shepherd 2,000 years ago. And really, it ought to be a time that we come back to the Word of God, re-examine all these things, and ask, really, why is it that there is no joy in my heart? We ought to be, as how the hymn goes, isn't it? Be able to shout and sing, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconcile. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And right now, as we look back at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that there is also another message that we have. And that is the message of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one was an exciting, glorious one, of course. He came down to be our Savior. And we are told that in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come as a judge, but also as the King, to assume His place on earth, to rule over all of us. And that also will be a glorious time of deliverance, where we will see the final fruition of our salvation, that we will receive the glorified body, and we will have that perfect, wonderful unity with the Lord forever and ever. And this is the other message that we have. The message of the first coming of Christ, but also the message of the second coming of Christ, that Jesus is coming again. And as much as we look back with joy and excitement to the first coming, we set our eyes forward and also say, yes, yes, even so, come, Lord, quickly come. And the next few days, as we have the youth retreat, that is really going to be the focus as we consider all the things about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we realize that it is truly very, very soon. And if we understood the first message that the angels brought to us, and the excitement that the shepherds had when the angels stood before them and announced that today is the day that the Lord has come, imagine how it'll be when the trump of the angel will sound, and we will realize that yes, today is the day that the Lord has come again. An exciting, momentous event. And as we think about the first advent this Christmas, may our eyes also be looking forward to the second advent of Christ, that the angels will come again, and they will announce the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is when we, all believers, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we look forward to the coming as well. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we consider this passage this morning, surely our hearts are filled with joy and excitement as we realize how significant the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was, as we look forward to the second coming of the Lord, where He will no longer come as that humble Savior in a manger, but come as King and Judge of all the earth, coming in victory, in splendor, in glory. May our hearts also be thrilled to hear of this and realize that it will be soon. Help us to look forward to this blessed hope with expectancy in our lives here on earth as we continue to serve Thee. May we always be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That our hearts will not be fixed on the things of this earth, but our hearts will be fixed on the things above, as we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. We thank Thee for this wonderful message from the herald angels, and may we all hearken this morning and help us all to praise Thee with our voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.